Amen. Well, this morning we've been talking about the kingliness of Jesus, the person of Jesus. What's kind of wild is often in Christianity we talk about having a relationship with Jesus. And truthfully, we can do this to the point that we almost oversaturate the depth of that statement. It can devolve into a meaning something like having an awareness of Christ or a historical understanding of Christ or even just an acceptance of Jesus's principles. But is that what having a relationship means? Of course not. If I told you I had a relationship with my wife, which means I do what she tells me to do, you wouldn't call that a relationship, would you? Though I do. No, but what's really meant there is it's having an honest, personal relationship with our Savior. It involves, as our young ones made the point of, spending time in His Word, spending time in conversation, getting to know Him, getting to know the person of Jesus. This summer, we're going to be doing a series through Hebrews, and it's just simply titled, Knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. My hope is that for each of us this summer, that by the end of the summer, we will be walking closer and more intimately with Jesus than we are today. That in looking at Hebrews, looking at this person of Jesus, who He really is, we're just going to feel drawn to Him more and more and more. And so what we're going to start with this morning is the very foundation of any relationship. And what does every relationship need at its foundational level? Trust. Trust. I heard that pretty equally, guys and women. That's good. I was worried this the women were going to say it, and guys, we weren't going to back it up there. But that's good. Yeah. Trust. Every relationship, even the simplest of relationships, need trust. And so we're going to see this morning that in a very unique way, the author of Hebrews is going to draw us into trusting Jesus. But more specifically, is he's going to answer the question, what is it about Jesus that draws us into trusting Him more? Not about us, but about Jesus that draws us into trusting Him more and more. We're going to look at the first four verses of chapter 1 of Hebrews this morning. Feel free to open your pew Bibles if you'd like to. We're also going to put it up on the screen, and we'll be doing this from the NRSV version. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days He's spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds. He's the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and He sustains all things by His powerful word. When He had made purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the four verses of Scripture, it could take a lifetime to understand the depths of these four verses. And so we just ask that, Lord, please give us something today, something to just draw us closer into trusting You, to knowing You. It's what our hearts long for. We want to know You. It's in Your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, last week, Wally led a song, and the words of it went, "It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns." I love that song. I absolutely love that song. But here's the pop quiz for this morning. Does anybody know who wrote the song? It was a band. The Newsboys. I heard it. The Newsboys. I like the Newsboys. When I was early in my faith, I really got into the Newsboys. It's so much so I got to go to one of their concerts. Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great. I had a blast. I mean, the music was wonderful. They played all the songs I knew, including that one. There was even a point where the drummer did this drum solo, and then the drums started floating in the air and spinning around, and I was like, this is phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I heard Linus declined that option for the new organ. I don't know why. I just would have looked really good here, but nevertheless, it was phenomenal. But the thing I remember the most about that concert was this particular point. The lead singer started sharing the gospel. And as part of it, he said this statement, and it probably caught my heart because I just needed to hear it at the time. But he said, "It's okay to have doubts about your faith. I have doubts every single day." And he said that, and I thought to myself, you have doubts every single day? Have you heard your songs? I mean, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. How could you have doubts every single day about your faith? And yet, I feel like he was doing something that was absolutely incredible. He was giving us permission to do something that must happen. We have to wrestle with our faith. We have to wrestle with our faith, because this is the truth, and we know this truth. It doesn't matter if you're on the front side of thinking about trusting Christ, if you've been doing it for a few years, if you've been doing it for a long time, doubts happen. They're going to happen. You're going to have those moments where you're not sure if Jesus is who he really says he is. You're going to have those moments, because the truth be told is that God says this, but here's your life circumstances, and you start wondering, could he really be the God he says he is in my life circumstances? Because I don't feel like he is God in my life circumstances right now. And so doubts are going to happen. They just do. I have doubts. There's moments. Are you really going to speak into this guy? Are you really going to get us through this guy? And we will do this. We will doubt. But what we might not do is wrestle with that doubt and take it to the face of Jesus. We might just dismiss it and say, you know what? It must be true. I'll just keep trying to believe. Or worse, we'll just say, you know what? It's just not adding up. I'm going to give up on this. Instead of take it to the face of Christ and wrestle with our faith and struggle in the depths of life. Jesus, are you who you say you are? I need you to enter into this. Hebrews is a book for people who are willing to go to Jesus and wrestle with their faith, because that's who they are. Hebrews, this is a group of people who once heard this great gospel message, and then life happened. The dust of the excitement settled. They started realizing, hey, it's not so popular to be a Christian in society. And then they started having their doubts. So the author of Hebrews, whom we still don't know who it is to this very day, there's a lot of theories out there. Who wrote Hebrews? But we're still not entirely sure. He writes to this, it's probably a small church community, a little house church community. They have a kind of a Jewish background, cultural background. And what he writes is this letter about the personhood of Jesus. And it's dynamic. I mean, it is phenomenal. I'll be honest with you. It used to be my least favorite book in the entire New Testament, because it's so thick and, you got to really wade through Hebrews to get through it. But what he wants to communicate this morning, I think, is that to begin with, Jesus is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Now, he doesn't say it like that. He doesn't just come out and say he's trustworthy. What he actually does is he paints this beautiful picture of Jesus through time. to show us his trustworthiness. And this is what I want to look at this morning, is Jesus is trustworthy because he's been trustworthy in the past, he will be trustworthy in the future, and therefore he is trustworthy in our present. So if you look, Jesus is going to begin this by, or the author is going to begin this by observing that the testimony of Jesus draws us into trusting him. It's the testimony of Jesus that draws us into trusting him. He says that long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many ways, in various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, how has he spoken to us? Through his son, through his son. Whose testimony draws us in? Is it the prophets or is it the son? The Son. Do I want to trust God? Do I want to know God? Do I want to understand his desires? Well, then the author of Hebrews is saying, well, then the best place you probably should go to is the voice of Christ. And if you've read Hebrews, you know that the author of Hebrews rarely just says, here's the truth, now believe in it. He's going to prove it. He's going to prove it. That's what makes reading Hebrews so juicy and wonderful. It's just, there's just so much to sink your teeth into. We're going to have fun this summer. Please don't get bored. And so what he does this, how he does this once again is looking at it through the perspective of time. And I think that's such an appropriate way to look at it, because once again, if at the foundation of of a relationship is trust, well, what does trust take to develop? Takes time, right? Time to develop trust. You know this. If you're in a relationship with anybody, it took some time to get there, right? Especially if you've ever had trust broken, it takes even more time to rebuild it, right? We know this. We know this as human beings. There is this beautiful relationship with trust and with time. And so what the author of Hebrews is going to do is he's going to look at time. And so he begins by saying this. He says, he has spoken to us by a son whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. In other words, Jesus is trustworthy because he has been and will be trustworthy through the future as the heir of all things, but also in the past, because he's been there since when? Creation. Creation. So let's actually start with the past, because I think this is the easiest one to digest for us. Yeah, we like the past. That's where we often start with faith. So been there since creation. He was in the beginning, as Genesis says. This is such a great idea that John even steals it. He doesn't steal it, but he kind of uses it to begin his own gospel, right? The Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Without him, not one thing came into being. Now, this is, of course, before the fall that John's talking about. So, in other words, everything that was created, everything, came through the word of Christ and was sealed and stamped with this incredible approval by the Father. Do you remember what was the seal of approval that God would say every time something had happened in creation? It's good. That's right, it's good. And when he created humanity, it's really good. Everything that was spoken into being was good. Was good. And so we get statements like this from the Apostle Paul in Philippians, where he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Why? Because they point us back to who? To Jesus, the one who speaks goodness into the world. Jesus is trustworthy with our past. Because he's got a great track record, doesn't he? He creates good things. He's been there since before time even existed. I think the average Christian is very comfortable with this reality, that Jesus is trustworthy because of who he has been, right? He's trustworthy because of who he has been. We like that in the Western world. We like history. We really do. We have a deep appreciation for history as this tool for growing and learning and changing the world. We even have phrases like, those who don't learn from history are doomed to what?
Repeat it. Well, you knew that.
I bet you believe it too, don't you? That if we don't learn from history, we'll just repeat it. And so it's not a hard thing to grow from this reality or to trust this reality that Jesus is good because of who he has been. And as evangelicals, we have a deep appreciation for the Word of God. And so we read it as historical, don't we? And as we read it, we say, this is who God is because he says it is and he has proven it. So this first piece that the author of Hebrews says is he's trustworthy because he's been there since the dawn of time and his track record proves it. We can affirm that, right? We can say he's good and he's trustworthy with my past. But secondly, Jesus is also trustworthy with our future because he's the heir of all things, right? He's essentially the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've said that today, right? All of redemption's wound up in him. As a matter of fact, we often come to faith through this reality. Now, I don't know about you all, but that was an important piece of my coming to faith. It wasn't that I just read the Bible and I said, well, this makes good sense, I'll run with it. It's that I read the Bible and realized this is who God has been. But because God is eternal, and he's inviting me, personally inviting me, to know him in eternity, I best follow that. And that grabs our hearts, that God is inviting us into eternal life. We can trust God with our future because of who he says he is. And once again, the author of Hebrews would want us to affirm that. But then there's verse 3. It says, not he was, not he will be, but he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. He is sustaining all things. Now that's an incredible statement. But can you affirm it? And I don't just mean with your heads. I mean with your life. Can you affirm that Jesus is sustaining all things in your life? Do we understand the person of Christ at such a real level that our gut response to conflict, our gut response to fear, our gut response to joy and hope is that I'm learning to trust Jesus more? I think on average, we as Christians are very comfortable with trusting Jesus in the past, trusting him in the future. But the present's a little harder, isn't it? Because we gotta live in the present, don't we? You have to get up and do something after this is all said and done. And that's a little more complicated. And I believe that the Word of God this morning is pleading with us to take the risk of trusting Jesus to shape our present, to trust him in the deepest places of our lives and our hearts. And how powerful is this? Well, the author, he's going to give us this fantastic imagery to consider. As a matter of fact, he's going to talk the rest of chapter 1 about it. I'm not going to go into it. You can read it on your own. I just want us to focus on this very last verse. He says, when he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now that feels like an out of left field statement. He's so good. He's so wonderful. He's God through all time and space. He's even better than angels. What? Better than angels? Well, to us today, the thought of angels, it's not the thing we dwell highly on when we think of God or when we think about eternity. But to the native listener, angels were important. When God speaks, before Christ, he speaks through two methods, right? Prophets, which has already been mentioned, and angels. Prophets could be hit or miss. Angels were never hit or miss. If an angel comes and declares something on behalf of the Lord, it's big, right? I mean, everything from the destruction of cities to virgin birth, right? When angels get involved, it's a big deal. And it would be a big deal today, wouldn't it? I mean, let's just imagine with me for a moment. We're gonna have fun. Imagine that all of a sudden, this morning, right here, an angel of the Lord appears in the chancel. And let's just go wild with this. Let's say it is enormous. It is grand. As you look, he's so big. His wings can't even unfurl. He's so majestic. And you look at him and there's this look of beauty, but he's also wild. And in his hand is a sword. And you don't know how he could do it, but you just know in one fell swoop, he could eliminate everything you see around. And there's this part of us that as we're looking at him, we're just thinking, I don't know if I want to gaze upon him because it's so beautiful, or if I just want to plead with him to leave because the glory of the Lord on him is so overwhelming that we don't even know what to do. And that angel says, I have a word from the Lord for you, St. Giles. And it is to encourage you to trust him afresh. Question for you. Would that shape this church from that moment forward? You betcha. Do you think we'd get a few more hits on our YouTube stream after that happened? We'd probably break the internet. I don't know. Would your faith be encouraged? Sure. Sure, absolutely. And what the author of Hebrews is telling each one of us this morning is as amazing as that would be. This is better. Jesus is better. His word is more excellent. You could have an angel stand here in all its majesty and glory and tell you something, and it still wouldn't come close to the word of Christ right here, right now, being spoken in your presence. He's so good. He's so trustworthy. Friends, I think the invitation to Scripture this morning for each one of us is, will you let him be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your brother and your friend right now in the present? What does it mean to take all our fears to Christ? What does it mean to cast our anxieties on Christ? What does it mean to put all our hope in Christ? What does it mean to just know him and love him and be loved by him so that we say, I'm in a relationship with Jesus, presently speaking. And he knows me, and I know him. Friends, I want to invite you this morning, wherever you're at right now in your faith, or wherever you've been in the past month or two or 20, that Jesus Christ wants you to know him, and he wants you to trust him with whatever you've brought into this sanctuary this morning. He wants you to hold it up to him and say, Jesus, please take this. I trust you. He went to the cross so that there would never be anything that gets between you and him, ever, through all eternity. And so as we go into prayer this morning, I want to invite you just to take a moment, and if something comes to mind, if the Spirit just gives you something or convicts you of something, it says, you need to offer that to Jesus this morning. You need to entrust it to Jesus this morning, to give that to him right now, in the present, here and now. Let's go to him. Lord Jesus, You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. You are before time has existed and you will be way beyond time's expanse. And yet you've invited each one of us by name, with love, to know you today, to trust you today, to rely deeply on you today. So Jesus, we offer to you those places in our lives that whether it's fear of offering it to you or it's just never occurred to us that you would even care to be the Lord of even that in our lives. We hold that up to you right now. Things I think I'm hearing is, Jesus, you're the Lord of my marriage. You're the Lord of my addictions. You're the Lord of my future. You're the Lord of my greatest fear. Heavenly Father, we trust you. We trust you. Jesus, we trust you. And it's in your wonderful and amazing name we pray.